song at the end.
Okay. Gracias. Didn't they do a wonderful job? You know, I don't know if this stand wants me to go down to the floor and kneel while I preach or what here this morning. Praise the Lord. Thank you, choir. I'm just so very, very proud of you for all the hard work. You have no idea how much work they poured into that and how many practices they've undergone to do that. So let's just show them our appreciation one more time. In front of you in your chair is a red Bible. I encourage you to take that out with you. I'm just going to share the word with you just very briefly this morning. It won't be long. I know some of you are chomping at the bit to get out of here. But hang on with me, will you? And if you have handles on your chairs, just grip. Come on, just grip. You can sit there for 10, 12 more minutes.
Clara, Jody, and Ryan.
Clara, Jody, and Ryan for the choir and playing and leading. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that wonderful leadership. Page 897, we're in John chapter 11, the Gospel of John chapter 11. We're looking at verses 25 and 26 this morning. Why did Jesus come here to earth? Why did he live here as one of us? And why did he suffer under the hands of mankind? Why did Jesus offer himself willingly to be crucified on a cross? And why did the Son of God lower himself to a physical death and to be buried in an earthly tomb? And look what he says in answer to all those questions in verses 25 and 26 of John 11 with me, page 897. The answer is found to all those questions in Jesus' own words. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he leaves it with this question. Do you believe this?
Amen.
Hey, I have a question for you. Do you believe that this morning?
Yes.
That's the question that every one of us sitting here in this room right now and everyone in the absolute world must answer for ourselves. Now let me give you the setting here very quickly. Lazarus, Mary and Martha's brother, Jesus' very close friend, died 4 days ago before Jesus said this. And while Lazarus is still ill and still alive, his sisters, Mary and Martha, send word to Jesus. Jesus, will you come? Your friend is sick. And as much as the disciples are in a hurry to get there, Jesus seems not to be in a hurry. Matter of fact, he says in chapter 11, verse 4, he says, "The illness does not lead to death. It's for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." And the disciples, well, they're all greatly confused about the situation, as they often were. Is Lazarus just sick, or is he dead, or what's going on here? And Jesus says to them in verse 14 of this chapter, he told them, "Lazarus has died, and for your sake, I'm glad that I was not there." And I read that this week, and I said, why? And he answers it, "So that you may believe." This is the hardest thing for you and I in this earthly life to do. To believe. Not solely on the name of the risen Christ, but solely on the name of the risen Christ who's Lord and Savior over all. He's the Savior of the world, Savior of mankind. And we're called to believe solely on the risen Son, Jesus Christ, so that we can know that we know that we know that we have eternal life. Do you have eternal life this morning? Something astonishing is about to happen here, and the disciples are going to get a first-hand look at it. They're going to see the miracle of the resurrection by the power of God, and it isn't going to be the only time they see this. Jesus arrives at Mary and Martha's house 4 days after Lazarus has died, and Martha comes out to meet Jesus on the road, and she begins to have this conversation with him in verses 20 and 21. And she says to him in verse 20, "If you had only been here, Lazarus would still be alive. But if you want to do something right now, I know God will give you whatever you ask." I read that this week again and I thought, you know what? It's kind of like saying to God, "You know, you're a little late, don't you think? But I believe you can still do something." It's kind of like belief wrapped in cynicism, and I think we all have it to some degree. Jesus goes right to the heart of it. He says in verse 22, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha responds and says, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." In other words, she's saying, "I've got my theology right here, Jesus. I know that at the very end there's going to be a resurrection, and God has promised it. I understand that, and I believe that that resurrection in the last day is going to happen." But Jesus goes to the heart, and he says to Martha, "Martha, look at me. I am the resurrection and the life. And whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Martha didn't get it. You know what? Many of us oftentimes don't get it either. It's quite clear she still did not comprehend the truth that the resurrection from the dead and genuine eternal life are embodied in Jesus and can only be found in relationship with Him. That's why Jesus said, "Whoever believes in me." That requires of us absolute personal trust in Jesus Christ alone. "Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." Hallelujah. Martha didn't get it. How do we know that? Because we know the rest of the story. Jesus commands the stone to be rolled away. Here comes Martha again. She protests, "Lord, Lord, he's been in there for 4 days. He stinks. He's already begun to rot." And here comes the kindness. And here comes the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says in verse 40, Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you? Did I not tell you? Have I not told you? Have I not? Have you not heard me? Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" And in verse 41, Jesus lifts his eyes towards heaven and he prays. He says, "Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this on account of the people standing around that they may believe that you sent me." There's that word again. Did you catch that? There's that word "believe" being used again. "That they may believe that you sent me." Now we know the rest of the story. Lazarus is called forth from the tomb and he comes walking out wrapped in burial cloths, physically resurrected from the dead. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive after 4 days in the tomb. And John tells us at the end of the book, in the end of the Gospel of John in chapter 20, verse 31, that the whole purpose of all of this, and the reason it's written down for us to read even here today, is to believe. "But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name." Believing. We have the hardest time letting go and just trustingly believing that faith alone in Jesus Christ is totally provides my salvation and resurrection and inheritance in eternal life in heaven. It's just so difficult, though, for us humanly to trust something or someone that we have no control over. It's hard to let go, isn't it? It's hard to trust. But God is calling you to believe that there is salvation in no other name given among men, given under heaven, by which we must be saved, Luke writes in Acts 4:12. We can hear these things, and we can hear them over and over, but our hearts can be so hardened because of sin, and so stubborn, and so rebellious, that we really don't hear, even though we hear the word believe. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 17, as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside. And on the way up to Jerusalem, he said to them, "See, we're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him, and he will be raised on the third day." That was the third time Jesus would tell the disciples exactly what was going to happen to him. Yet when it all occurred, where were they? They were hiding. They were scared. They were locked in a room somewhere in Jerusalem. They were not believing what Jesus had told them. Do you know what the truth is? The truth is that Jesus Christ is alive. The truth is that the grave is empty. The stone has been rolled away. And his crucifixion and resurrection mean eternal life to all who will believe trustingly by faith. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." Believe the gospel, Jesus would say in the beginning of Mark. And you say, "Well, Rich, what's the gospel?" Well, let's let the Bible define what the gospel is. The Apostle Paul defines the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15, 3-8 like this. "For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received," Paul says. And here comes the gospel. "That Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that He was buried, and that He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen by Cephas and then by the 12. And after that He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. And after that He was seen by James, and then by all the apostles. And then last of all He was seen by me also as one born out of due time." You know, I was having a conversation with a gentleman a couple of months back in Evie's on a Saturday morning, and he was a professed agnostic. And he said to me, as I talked to about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he said, "How do you know He's alive?" And I said, "Because the Bible testifies more than 500 eyewitnesses saw Him." He said, "How do you know that's true?" And I said, "How many eyewitnesses does it take for you to realize it's true? Is 500 not enough?" You see, lots of people have trouble figuring out whether to really believe Jesus Christ or not. In the Gospel of Mark, it tells us that Jesus appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table. And listen to this. "And He rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw Him after He had risen." Those disciples weren't any different at that moment in time than you and I are today. You see, they had not yet seen Him, but everyone had been testifying to Him. "The Lord is alive. He's risen. He's risen. He's risen." But in the hardness of their heart, they said, "Oh, it can't be. We saw Him buried. We saw Him dead on the cross. There's no way." You see, that's the choice you and I have. To believe on the name of the resurrected Jesus Christ and be saved, or to not believe, to refuse to believe, and perish into eternal judgment and be cut off from the joy of heaven and be eternally cut off from the presence of God. You see, it's not as if Jesus is not real. He's real, and He arose from the dead, and He told the disciples in Luke 24:38, He said, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? See My hands and My feet, that it is I Myself. Touch Me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." And when He had said this, He showed them His hands and His feet. Yesterday I was reading in Philip Yancey's book entitled Finding God in Unexpected Places. Philip Yancey was a former journalist who's become a very prolific Christian author. Maybe you've read some of his writings. But on one of his journalistic trips to South Africa, he says this: "I met a remarkable woman named Joanna. She is a mixed race, part black and part white, a category known there as colored. As a student, she agitated for change in apartheid and then saw the miracle that no one had predicted, the peaceful dismantling of that evil system. Afterward, for many hours, she sat with her husband and watched live broadcasts of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission hearings. Instead of simply exulting in her newfound freedoms, Joanna next decided to tackle the most violent prison in South Africa, a prison where Nelson Mandela had spent several years. Tattoo-covered gang members controlled the prison, strictly enforcing a rule that required new members to earn their admittance to the gang by assaulting undesirable prisoners. Prison authorities looked the other way, letting these animals beat and even kill each other. Alone, this attractive young woman started going each day into the bowels of that prison. She brought a simple message of forgiveness and reconciliation, trying to put into practice on a smaller scale what Mandela and Bishop Tutu were trying to effect in the nation as a whole. She organized small groups, taught trust games, got the prisoners to open up about the details of their horrific childhoods. The year before she began her visits, the prison had recorded 279 acts of violence. The next year, there were only two. Joanna's results were so impressive that the BBC sent a camera crew from London to produce 2 one-hour documentaries on her." And Yancey goes on to say, "I met Joanna and her husband, who has since joined her in the prison work, at a restaurant on the waterfront of Cape Town. Ever the journalist, I pressed her for specifics on what had happened to transform that prison. Her fork stopped on the way to her mouth. She looked up and said, almost without thinking, 'Well, of course, Philip. God was already present in the prison. I just had to make him visible.'" And he finishes with this, Yancey speaking, "I've often thought of that line from Joanna, which would make a fine mission statement for all of us seeking to know and follow God. God is already present in the most unexpected places. We just need to make God visible." Listen, Jesus said, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts?" Jesus Christ, listen, Jesus Christ is the risen Son of God, and the proof is that He's alive. He's alive. What sets Jesus Christ apart from all the other professed supposed gods in this world is the fact that the tomb is empty and He's alive, and the grave claws lie in there to prove it. Amen. What must we do? What must we do? Believe trustingly in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for our salvation and find eternal life. Repent of our sin. Call on His name in faith and crown Him Lord and Savior of your life. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. For if you believe with your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you are justified, the Bible says. And when you confess with your mouth that He is Lord of your life, you are saved. That's God's promise to you and to me. Amen. You know, some of you have been here with a lot of doubts in your life. He's with you right now. Just like He was in that prison, you just have to step out of your undoubt and step into the reality of faith. You have to step into believing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and God will become visible to you in your life. He's with you. He's with you in that trial. He's with you in that tribulation. He's with you in that continual temptation that besets your soul all the time. He's with you to set you free when you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He's risen. Have you done that? Have you crowned Him Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the risen King? Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, we humbly bow before You. And we pray, Holy God, King and Sovereign of the universe, that God, as we step out in faith towards You, You would become the visible God that You are to us in reality. Lord, You've given us the gift of faith. Lord, help us to take hold of it in spirit and in truth. God, help us to confess Your name above all names. God, help us to let go of the things that so easily beseech us. And God, help us to walk and live in faith in You, the risen Savior Jesus Christ, Lord and King of our lives. God, we cast away doubt and we take hold by faith You, Lord Jesus. Forgive our sin, Father, the past, the present, and the future. And we thank You for the promise that when we confess our sin, You are faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. God, we let go of You by faith today. And we let go of ourselves and our sin today. And we take hold of You today for Your glory and Your honor and for our eternal well-being. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let's respond to